Because you really, if I'm even, the frame is really your responsibility, I think. It's the one responsibility you have on the production side of it. And it's often bad.
I prefer not to look at us as much as I can.
Breaking news!
Oh, shit. Oh. I spilled the beer.
Mark spilled his beer. That's the breaking news that we have.
We're terrible for breaking...
Don't take the Lord's name in vain, especially considering the breaking news.
We're terrible at missing the boat with every bit of breaking news. Have we just recorded a pod? Someone's going somewhere.
Something dramatic's happening. Can you believe this happened? We would not have said Riki Ioane is going to Leinster. That's for certain. But that happened.
Mark Talia leaving New Zealand to go to Japan.
But this week...
We're on top of the breaking news for a change. It's sad news, especially given it's Easter. Sad news for you in particular.
It is sad. As a terrible, lukewarm, pathetic Catholic, as a good Irishman is, our beloved Pope Francis has passed away at the grand old age of 88. Good innings. Well done, Pope Francis.
88's not bad.
One of the more progressive popes.
I don't know much about him, but he seemed like a good bloke.
Yeah, he was a lot more of a people's pope. Argentinian.
Yes.
He didn't come through the usual sort of hierarchy of going through how the popes will get there, similar to sort of how Benedict got there beforehand.
Right.
But he had a more of a just a common man's approach and like... more of a loving approach to those who fit outside the norms of Catholic society, which was greatly appreciated. A bit of a breath of fresh air, especially considering not to hassle Benedict, his predecessor, who was a bit traditional,
I guess.
He was pretty conservative.
Conservative, that's the word.
Very, very conservative. Yeah. And he didn't last long. He
passed away pretty quickly as well.
I don't know. He didn't pass on.
Did he retire?
Yeah, he passed on the baton.
Right.
He might have passed on. I'm not too sure. But he is one of the only popes
to retire.
This is not the job I wanted. And he's handed it on. So he handed it on to Francis, who did a good job, related to the people. Still, for our lifetime, in top two popes we've had. Can't beat Saint John Paul.
He was Polish, wasn't he?
I don't know where he was from, but...
He was the one in my childhood. He's like my childhood pope.
Yeah, he's the one who had the sparkly blue eyes. Yeah. Charismatic as all hell.
See, the thing, I don't know anything about them. All I know is like the ultimate surface level like bit of information.
You know we're about
it's like
where
going,
they are.
It's like going, France, that's a romantic country because they like...
Isn't the Eiffel Tower there?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of my level of knowledge with popes. So like our previous guy was a bit conservative. This guy's a bit more...
I've been a Catholic all my life.
I can't think of any words today, but yeah, adjectives anyway. Struggling with my adjectives.
Well, this guy, he was very much more of a people's pope.
Right.
Which is, I think, was one of the great things. A great communicator, an Argentinian, didn't come from an enormously affluent background, as far as I am aware, and was more like, it struck you more as... your friendly parish priest, as opposed to your holier than thou cardinal that you could never get anywhere near.
There you go.
A loss.
Rest in peace to the Pope. Yes. Leading the rugby podcast with some Pope chat. Last week it was golf chat.
Yeah, exactly.
This week it's Pope chat.
Is it going to be weird if I put the Pope in the film? I'm going. I'll try not to do that. And I apologize if I've got any of my Pope facts wrong or have offended anybody with anything I've said about said Pope. You are free to choose.
It's still a pretty good knock.
You are free to choose how you wish to worship or not worship in any way you choose to do so, or live your life in any way that you choose to do so. The views expressed by Tony O'Sullivan do not necessarily express the views of the entirety of the podcast.
2 cents gets distracted.
A regular podcast.
Yeah, all the producers and writers and...
Exactly. I just don't want
to
get...
We've come very close to some technical disasters already. Hopefully we got them out of the way.
I feel like we kind of... Because we dodged it.
We did a live stream the other day and within about half an hour the batteries died. We're using the same setup.
Yeah.
During a live stream, people are able to tell you we've got no sound.
We, yeah.
We don't have to like record a whole podcast and then realize at the end there's no sound.
That's basically, if we ever had a producer on site.
That would be one of their responsibilities.
That would be the, pretty much the one. If they could help set up maybe and do, that'd be one of the other jobs. Oh, by the way, the microphones aren't working.
So we've got fresher batteries and also the SD card was full.
Yes.
If it is filled up.
That was a little bit suspect.
Well, something, if it would not start recording.
Whereas, it's recording now.
Whereas if we had started recording and then it filled up during, that would also be a problem.
Yes, it would have been a problem.
So fingers crossed we've dodged two bullets. Things come in threes.
Yeah, hopefully.
What else have we got?
If you're watching this, then everything's gone smoothly. If this is flowing off into the ether, no one's going to know.
There's been one podcast which never saw the light of day. Because we recorded
a couple.
One.
We've done it twice.
Oh, there's been a couple of re-recordings, but there was one that we just never published.
Was there?
Yeah, you called me and you were just
that's right.
Something's happened, and then just, shall we just flag it? And I was like, yeah, just forget
about it. Oh, I think I did one, and it was early on, and we were doing it on that Yeti, the Blue Yeti, and it just had the most, and then the Blue Yeti went down, like partway through it, and then it was just off the camera mic, and it sounded like such dog shit, and I did everything I could to try and beef it up,
and it was just terrible.
But it just sounded like,
I think that's when you maybe bought these.
Yeah, maybe.
It was like your,
I was like, fuck this shit, I've got to get some microphones,
right?
And then I you can't listen to a whole pod off that mic. It just sounds like we're talking in a shed through
rooms. Pretty rough.
Away.
That is pretty rough,
rather than these dulcet sweet tones that and these are not even like
top of the line.
Definitely not, but they do the trick for us. You don't want to hear us through some SBMOs. What are they called? These are Rodes. They're sure. SMBs. You know the ones that Rogan has and all the Flash podcasts have.
Oh,
those are the industry standard.
Okay. I've seen these on a few podcasts. I think James Marshall's podcast uses these.
Yeah, cheapos. So,
cheapos. Not got that Rogan money.
Yeah, no, ain't got that Rogan money. Speaking of our podcast, actually, I don't want to talk about, not our podcast, the live stream we did the other night. I've got some apologizing to do.
Okay.
But that's probably more closer to when we actually officially talk about rugby, which I don't know if we're ready to. You got anything, any other witty, funny thing happened to you on the way here kind of stories?
No, it was a pretty uneventful drive. Yeah, we've had some stormy weather in Auckland.
That's been unpleasant. Boy, after you left the house the other day,
it pissed down.
Was it on the right, on the drive? Did it start?
It was starting to piss down, and then it was really bucketing down when I got home. So my wife was like, "I'm kind of glad you're home right now."
Yeah, when you left, I had a couple more wines and a whiskey or two, and then kind of passed out on the couch downstairs. And then I woke up to like the sound of like boom, boom, and I was like, "Holy shit, what the fuck's going on?" And then I looked out, so I thought, oh, it's really coming down. And then I went into like the downstairs bathroom and the window was left open.
Oh, no.
And it was just this massive pool of water down there. And I was like, when I went to sleep, I had opened up that like downstairs door because it was getting too muggy. It was getting quite muggy and hot.
Right.
And then and the carpet got a little bit wet in there as well. Nothing too bad. And then I got upstairs and I was like kind of cut and half asleep. And then I was like, just looking out over the wider matter, I was like, this is a fucking Armageddon.
It really was.
Yeah. We had this massive storm.
It was only like 15 minutes drive from my place to your place at most. And there must have been like 8 or 9 lightning strikes on that little drive home. I was like, friggin' hell.
Yeah. And then
just get me home.
It was crazy. We had trees go down and all sorts of stuff. We had some pretty intense weather over the last few years, but the Met Service has been getting it in the air about the fact they gave
no warning. And the next day when it was kind of lightly raining, it's like, bah, bah.
Every time there's a shower, we get an emergency alert. Emergency, because they're trying to.
When there's like 20 strikes of lightning.
You know what irritates me? That they go, emergency warning, stay outside, don't come in there, don't go these and all these areas. You go, oh, shit, I live there. And then you look at, and you're like, oh, this warning stays in place until 3 p.m. And you're like, time of delivery, 2:54.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? And it's kind of sunny outside. Yeah. And you're like, what on earth? Anyway, this is actually very geographically
weather specific. Poke chair. Microphone chair.
Yeah, this is some good stuff. This is some of our finest work.
This is a rugby podcast.
It is a rugby podcast called
2 Cents Gets Distracted.
A rugby podcast.
Where can people listen to this if they don't want to see us?
It's as long as they upload. Yeah.
Last week on the, that's a good thing about the live stream is because we get the interactions. People were like, that's a bit weird. There was no podcast last week.
Yeah, well, like,
there were no podcast form.
I forgot. So you should be, you can listen to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and wherever else you get your podcasts, you should be able to find us. But
last week,
I uploaded it to the platform. I did everything you meant to do, and then I uploaded it
to YouTube.
Except press, there's a little button that says publish. So I made the thumbnail. I have to make a specific thumbnail for this, for the, what's for the name? It's just a little condensed and squared. And unfortunately, didn't quite manage to pull the trigger on the publish button. So apologies to all those people out there who are desperately, agonizingly waiting for our dulcet tones to penetrate their eardrums last week through the form of pure audio on one of the many podcasting platforms. I really let you down. I dropped the ball there, and I apologize.
So far, things are still recording.
Do you want to punish me in any way? Do you want to say, come on, Tony, get your shit together or anything like that? Or
that's right. You'll get it right this week.
Thanks, mate.
I believe in you.
Thanks, buddy. I think I've punished myself enough.
Exactly. Yeah. All the agonizing you've done, all that lost sleep.
Yeah, I laughed my head off when I found out about it. So, yeah, thanks for the people letting me know on the live stream the other night as well. Appreciate it. Oh, well,
I draw your attention to some very old news? After we recorded, it was announced that Rico Uiarte is going to Leinster. So we've got a chemical connection
here.
Because Rico's our Blues guy.
By the way, there's probably some really massive news that has happened in the last 24 hours.
Like, why are they talking about that?
Yeah, and there must be people going, we always miss the hot topics. Yeah.
Apart from the Pope.
But we got the Pope. That was just before we got on air.
Literally 15 minutes before we started recording.
Okay. Anyway, Rico Uiarte.
Rico's going to Leinster. It's unexpected.
Put that in your book.
Johnny Sexton and Rico have had a bit of a history.
And they have had ongoing little jibes at each other over
social media,
over their publications, over in social media and through Johnny Sexton's book.
I've heard a few kind of takes on this. Some people are like, Leinster fan, don't care, just like happy to have him coming along.
That's the main thing I've seen.
That's most of it. Then there are some who are like, Leinster fan, he's a real prick. I don't want him. He just seems like a bell end.
Right.
After what he said to Johnny.
Johnny's a fucking bell
end. And then there's a few people who reply to those people going like, Johnny's the biggest prick of them all. Like, he's got the biggest mouth. Like, he gets everything he deserves.
Yeah.
So they kind of deserve each other.
Yeah.
If people were giving Rico shit as a Blues fan, I wouldn't be like, oh no, not Rico.
It's hyper competitive.
Yeah.
And athletes. Yes. You know, I mean, they're probably lovely blokes day to day and all that sort of thing, but on a field where they're trying to get any sense of domination over the other person, a lot of it has to be mental warfare as well. You know, and that can spill over the 80-minute mark, as in like calling it. That was the only bad look when it was past 80 minutes in the quarterfinal when they were still sort of mouthing off at each other a little bit. But it is what it is. But it's spicy.
Spicy meatball.
It gives you another sort of layer to the whole kit and caboodle. Will he be as successful a import as Geordie?
I don't think. Geordie's just been pretty much perfect. Yeah. So I don't see how anyone could go as well as Geordie's gone. Yeah. Might be wrong. He might just go on a crazy try-scoring run. I don't know if they're going to play him in the midfield or if they play him on the wing. I kind of hope they play him in the midfield and maybe just coach him into slightly better midfielder, because Leinster coaches have done great things with James Lowe and Jameson Gibson-Park, and Geordie's having a cracking time. So they seem like Arkias Naiman, when he was a Munster, was always injured. Bad luck, I don't know, but Leinster are getting magic things out of him. So if you guys can make Leinster's coaching work on Rico,
we would really like that. Thank you. That would be great. Because we've all seen the talent that he exploded onto the scene back in 2017. And, you know, and the touches of class and talent that he's had spurse, you know, throughout that period.
Yeah.
But it feels like he's a little, it's been creeping around for the last couple of years, just a little bit stale, a little bit not as impactful as you'd hope him to be, a player of that quality.
It's a hard one for him, because at his peak, he was genuinely one of the best wingers in the world. Like, if you were picking a World 15, you would have been like, oh, you got to have Rico in there.
Yeah.
Whereas since he's gone to the midfield, you're just like, well,
He does solid carries. Yeah,
he's got some quick. He can cover those gaps sometimes with that gas of his.
Yeah.
His defense has gotten a lot better, but he's never really been able to unlock an attack like some other midfielders have.
Yeah. I'd like to see him take more players on the outside a little bit more and develop his passing game a little bit more. You don't ever see him in intricate cuts or anything like that.
That's right.
There seems to be just a lot of, solid carries, making the gain line.
People give him shit about his defense. I think his defense is not...
Defense fine.
It's more about just finding the man or using the pace to get the gap and then get the man in space, that kind of thing. That if he got that, I think he'd be a lot better.
I think in his defense, he doesn't seem to make... in wet conditions, everyone drops the ball, and he's dropped the ball from time to time. But for the most part, he's a relatively reliable.
He's
solid
just like
player.
Solid, yeah.
But he can be so much better than solid.
That's the thing. If he'd come through always as a center, if he'd never been on the wing, if he'd never been a world class winger, I don't think he gets the same level of shit that he does.
Yeah,
it'd just be like, fuck, I wish Rico would pass a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, there's been, like, South Africans used to have that with, like, Andre Esterhazy, who's this big unit that always just runs it straight.
Yeah.
Like, he was always talented at what he did, but they would always just give that one part of his game group.
Imagine if he had Conrad Smith's passing game.
Oh, yeah, and his nouse.
You know? Yeah. We saw fucking Ma'a Nonu, you know, he's obviously still playing, but in his sort of domestic and All Black career, he was, you know, started on the wing, then became just a bit of a basher in the midfield, had defensive lapses, would often, you know, not D up on the right man in defence and stuff that. But he built over time so many wrinkles in his game.
He got a kicking game, for God's sake.
His defence got better and better, his attack got better and better, and his tactical kicking game was sensational, and just his ability to be in the right place at the right time.
Legitimately just built layer after layer.
Whereas you just don't see Rico.
He's built like the defensive expert in his game. His positioning is way better. He doesn't let himself get beaten that much on deep. But you're really yet to see him take that level up. Like, no one's saying best of 13s in the world. Well, Rico.
Yeah. No. And you think if we told him, back in 2017, that guy was going to have a 10-year-plus All Black career, you'd be like, oh, he's going to break all-time try-scoring records and stuff like that.
He was in that position for a while, for sure.
But, you know, he's still not that old.
28.
So he's still got a good, if he takes Martin Nonu's path, but he could still have a good 5 to 6 years of, top flight level rugby. So
And he's still got room to get better.
Yeah. And if he does drop a little bit of pace in that midfield, but adds those wrinkles,
I think he'll be the better player.
Yeah, he'd be a much better player.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's an interesting move.
Indeed.
Another 28-year-old is Mark Tilio, who's heading to Japan.
I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, he's a late bloomer.
Yeah, right. That's a bit of a shame.
All Blacks at 25. Like most of the other All Blacks, like I think Rico, 22?
Yeah.
No, he was younger. He was a teenager, wasn't he? Was that Blues?
No, Rico Ioane was very
young. He was very young. Someone else. Will Jordan was 22.
Yeah.
Seve Reese was 22. Like 22 is about the age All Blacks wingers tend to debut. I think Rico was younger. So 25 for an All Blacks winger to be debuting, kind of.
You're still in your physical prime and haven't lost it.
But you're kind of, like, usually All Blacks wingers are getting
debuting
young.
So this, I can see it's probably just a financial move for him and his family.
Do you think he's looking at some of the other guys in Super Rugby right now, like Caleb Tangitao and some of the other wingers, and it's just going, still a few years to the World Cup, I'd have to hold these guys off until 2027? Or do you think he's going, that's a shitload of money?
I think it's probably the latter. I think probably any player who's managed to get to the levels he has and who's been able to play like he has played, he's a freak. Like when he's in top flight form, which we've seen spots of, which is a bit of a problem for the Blues all year. We're just seeing spots of these things. We're not seeing, they're not all at that high performance level throughout. But I think I would back him in a All Black environment to still be one of the world's best finishers.
For sure.
He's so elusive, so slippery,
so
strong.
He doesn't look that powerful, but Jesus, that guy's breaks some tackles.
Yeah, yeah. So, and when you say, do you think he is seeing it? I think in reality, those players definitely are a threat to his position.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
And the fact that All Blacks wingers tend to not have a long shelf life. They get them in young, but they also get them out young.
Yeah. But I think,
how much do you think that plays on his mind? Or do you think he's just ultra competitive, like, I'm better than these pricks?
I think it's probably more the fact that he knows that there is a shelf life on wingers of that age,
right,
and he has to make some yen.
Do you think he's thinking, like, this is maybe the best offer I'm ever going to get?
Yeah.
Like, if I lose my place in the All Blacks next year, maybe next year's contract offer is 25% less.
And you know what? You know, retired rugby players don't get paid.
That's
right. So these guys have a very limited amount of time to maximize their biggest earning capacity that you will ever have in their entire life, barring some sort of, you know, massive business success that can happen. You see it with the likes of people like Mark Ellis and stuff like that have gone on to be you know, relative almost billionaires. But they have, for most players, you know, the chance to earn, you know, somewhere between $1.5 and $2.5 million a year. They will only have that for a limited time. So if you can do that for 5 years, you can set yourself up with, you know,
a good foundation,
a fantastic foundation, a good house with mortgage free, to be able to take care of your family, and set up, if you've got wise people around you, set yourself up with some solid investments that are hopefully going to, you know, help sustain yourself and create some passive income throughout the rest of the time, whilst you have, you know, a great framework around you to actually build into whatever you want to do next, which hopefully will also earn a fair amount of income. But these guys need to be smart about it.
Yeah.
So he could just, you know, there's a big difference between earning $10 million over 5 years and earning five, you know, which is, what do you do? You know, like, yeah, especially you don't know what these guys are from, what kind of background they are, what, you know, what relative affluence they grew up in. All these things can have a massive impact upon, you know, what they choose to do at this stage of their career.
One thing I've always loved about that guy is the fact that he's like a born and raised Kiwi, but he's like part Samoan and part South African. It's like someone had like a witch's cauldron and was like, let me brew up a perfect rugby player.
Absolutely. Just, like,
all those places love rugby.
100%. And I think players often, like, I'm sure people go, shit, there's Mark Dallier, this is going to be hard to tackle. But if you feel like you've made a good hit on him, you feel like, I should be able to take him down. Now, he's not the biggest bloke.
No.
But how often he's able just to wriggle and get his way out, or just power through a tackle when you just, like, that physically shouldn't be possible. It's like there's something, he's defying the laws of physics.
Wrong.
Yeah.
How but he can do it. That sets up the All Blacks going forward. Have we got a problem, or do you think we're never going to be short of wingers?
I don't think it's good for the All Blacks, but I do think that there will probably be players that will be able to fill that void. Hopefully players to that level. Who knows? Like, it's a little bit of a shame we weren't able to get more out of them, that we're not going to get them at the next World Cup. It'd be nice to see, like, you think about the World Cups that we won, like Julian Savau, Nehi Moloskata. Who do we have? And then we had
Zach Guilford.
Zach, he wasn't on the wing, though. He was in the squad for 2011. Who was on the wings? I think Kahui was on one wing, believe it or not, in 2011. And
the guy on the
Corey Jane,
yeah, Hurricanes coaching staff right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were kind of... Corey Jane was good. He had incredible kicking game, like kicking it, chasing it in, good passing game. It's
a long time ago now, eh?
Yeah, it is a long time ago. He is looking a bit older, as we all are.
As we all are. One more thing I want to get to in terms of news stuff before we hit up the kind of
this is different. We don't usually start with news.
I know. What do you think about taking a dive?
Oh, I think
I should have showed you a wee clip before we started from the top 14 at the weekend. French young halfback Nolan Legarec.
I think the way the game is being adjudicated, you can't help but, it's inevitability that blokes, when they feel a slap around the chops in years gone by, they would have been like, ain't nothing, get up, run.
Yeah.
Get to the next job.
If anything, the onus was on not showing anything.
Yeah, exactly. You're like,
I feel no pain.
Unless the referee pinged it immediately. But now with the advent of TMO with, you know, the TMO has been the big game changer. A player knows that if they go, if they cop one around the jaw, they may clock him or may just, you know, be a little bit...
They make a bit of a show of it just to highlight the fact that Timo's going, oh, let's just roll that back. Oh, he has hit him in the head.
Stay down for a sec and then all of a sudden you've earned your team a decent penalty and maybe a bloke in the bin for 10 minutes. Most
famously or infamously, recently, potentially, Nick White with the old brush to the face.
Well, as someone with facial hair, it really hurts when somebody slaps your stash or your goatee. But yeah, do I like it? No. Is it inevitability of the game?
Was Ligurix 1 worse than what we currently see?
Fucking ridiculous. It was an absurdity.
Was that like and football
that
level?
That was the worst level of European football mimicry, bullshit, artist crap. And the guy should be freaking hung out to dry for bringing that shit into the game. Because we don't need that.
It's so, a slippery slope.
I don't know, for anyone who hasn't seen it, who was playing?
It was Racing 92 up against Perpignan.
So this guy, Legarek, who I think is
a fantastic player.
There's some sort of a stoppage. There's a big bloke who's near him, and he takes two little shuffle steps towards him and then does that classic sort of European football, like, oh, dive on the thing, grabbing his own face. He initiates the lightest contact possible. You can't even see any contact made. And then does the biggest Neymar Hollywood he possibly can. Just like the ones that we take the piss out of when we see in football. And it is a fucking atrocity. Like the guy, I would like to see the guy get weeks on the sideline for that shit. Just because if it's rewarded in any way, that's a slippery slope to making this game fucking shit. Like we can't have that crap, and it needs to be stomped on the head. And I hope that he like copped a huge amount of shit from his own players. Like he should just be like, well, look, he didn't kill anybody or anything like that. I just don't like what that represents in the game or anything like that. And he's a young man, and hopefully he learns from it.
Yeah.
But I would like to see some consequences. But there were no
wasn't penalized or anything. I sometimes think about that when I watch other sports, and like what rules or laws would I like to see from other sports in rugby. And I think we've talked about it before, but ice hockey actively penalizes any simulation.
Yeah.
If you go down too easily, even if there has been a little bit of contact, if it looks like you're making a meal of it, you'll get penalized. And I like that. I would rather
diving in football. Diving, they can get you for diving, can't they?
I don't know.
If you just take a dive. It? I don't know. I thought you could.
But I think, I think they do need to. It is sometimes hard, because if a guy has actually been hit, you don't want to be penalizing them for it. But if guys are taking the blatant of blatant dives, you need
that
to
was
be,
that was the worst I've seen in my life.
It was pretty bad on a rugby field.
That was atrocious.
Yeah.
Yeah, really
We
atrocious.
Don't need that crap.
We don't need it. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that's the news update. Whatever that other big story was, we haven't seen it yet.
I'm sorry. I can't. You're like, why are they not talking about Johnny Sexton being named as emergency Lions coach after Owen Farrell was involved in an... the way I was going with that story was going to end real quick. Involved in a sex scandal with the Irish Prime Minister's wife.
It hasn't happened.
Okay.
What did happen was some rugby at the weekend.
Yes. We watched some rugby.
We watched the Crusaders play the Blues. Oh,
God. Okay, look, number one. Okay, so this is where rugby starts. Thank you for joining us for those people who skipped just to this point.
We did just cover some rugby news if you want to go back.
Oh, we did. Shit. Holy shit. Pardon me. I had a brain fart for a moment there. But I feel ashamed of myself.
Okay.
You know, like this, well, that was a heartbreaking game.
Yes.
And, full credit to the Crusaders. They won the damn game. It was the hope that killed us. It was really, it's up there with an All Black loss, losing
Where's
a game
the
like
shame
that.
Here?
The shame was, there's no other encounter in rugby that turns me more into...
You tweeted a picture of your dick to the Crusaders coach, Rob Penny, and you were like, suck on this.
Eat this. No, when we were like 2 points up with like six to go, I was like, suck on this Auckland dick. No, there's nothing more out of any fixture in rugby that brings
that's
out
the
my...
one that burns.
That brings out, and also brings out my seething toxic fan.
Yeah.
Like, I was like... just these fucking cantabs. Fletcher Newell looks like a ruptured hemorrhoid. And like, I'm just spewing hate towards these rugby players. And like, in those encounters, I just fucking can't stand them. And like, I don't know why, it's just like bred into me as from a child.
Yep.
And I just, especially losing like that. Like, if we flogged them, I'd be like, oh, that's a poor old day for Cody Taylor. Yeah, but, yeah, like, him giving Cigna shit, I'm like, you know. So I just feel like the things that I try and advise against any other fan about being...
You were exhibiting them.
I was exhibiting them. But I think as a fan, naturally, you're going to exhibit them during the game somehow. It's pretty hard to stay above it. But definitely don't take them online. Although I was online in a stream exhibiting these seething, toxic behaviours.
Okay.
So, yeah, apologies there. But at the end of the day, they were good enough to get the chocolates, came down to a couple of scrums at the end of the...
25-22... Couple of James O'Connor penalties late.
Well, that's twice that we have brought on young props at the very end of games and lost them due to kicks, due to our young props not being up to standard. So there's a problem there that we need to address. But all in all, a great game, a really, really good game.
In the wet as well.
In the wet, a half decent crowd there.
I think the crowds this weekend were generally pretty bad, but I think part of that's fucking bad weather, and part of that's people are away for Easter. They're probably not a lot of people go away.
Would have been a good week to have a game in Tauranga or something like that. Like, a lot of people go that sort of way.
That's
but
a lot of people away from their homes.
Indeed, we should have gone to a hotspot. But yeah, that was brutal. That was brutal because beating them would have been massive for our season.
Yeah, because we're still out of the playoff spots.
Yeah. And also just beating the Crusaders
is always pretty sweet.
And we don't do it at all, very often at all. That stat from, what is it?
Patrick
Tuilotu, who's a veteran of the Blues, has won 3 games in 18 attempts or something against the Crusaders.
We lose a lot.
Fuck, it sucks. Even last year when we were... We were a very good team. We won the champ, and they were god awful. We still lost to them, and it still was fucking irritating as anything.
Good job, Crusaders.
You bastards. Well done. And Cigna was big in the game. He was involved.
He was involved in everything. Good, bad, ugly.
Yeah. It was. Do you put him in the environment, you know, when they say the environment, the All Black environment, at any stage in his career? Is he just not good enough, not big enough, not strong enough, not dynamic enough?
Not yet, eh? We've got too many good Lucys.
Yeah. The you know who I like the look of? What is it? Is it Leosi or something like that? The number 8 from the Crusaders? He's strong.
Was it Leo Willie?
Yeah, that's it. He's strong. He looks like a player who could do things, potentially. Looks like, you know, across a few games, I've noticed him popping his head around and being, you know, massively involved. He's not actually
capped, is he? I don't think so.
I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Could be involved somewhere down the track. Anyway.
New Zealand's got lots of good loose forwards.
Indeed. Yeah, but if you put him in, who do you take out as well?
That's the thing.
Satiti has to come back at some stage soon as well.
Satiti can't even make the All Blacks.
Yeah, even when he's the...
Oh, we didn't even mention that miracle passes. Holy shit. Oh,
holy shit.
In the wet.
Oh, that was incredible. Yeah. This completely random, you know, picking it up from the base of a ruck.
And pissing rain.
And where you would generally just see a guy do a 4-foot pass to a big fuck-off prop who is just trying to burrow towards the line.
And then even he might drop it because it's so wet.
Yeah, but he just picks it up, throws a freaking 20-meter, you know, backward spiral pass that bounces just in front of Adrian Lamb.
Behind his back to AJ Lamb.
Who beats a player and makes the try line.
It's crazy.
It was
quite unbelievable.
It was spectacular. I think part of the player who was beaten was just shocked, being like, what the fuck?
Brain can't compute what's happening.
Yeah, it was spectacular.
That was pretty crazy.
Anyway, good game. Probably one of the, maybe the best game of the weekend.
Maybe. The Drua played the Waratahs and beat them 28-14 in Lautoka.
Man, the Waratahs, they're terrible on the road. They're up and down as well.
Won all their home games and they've lost all their road games.
Yeah.
Although the Fijians are for some reason a lot better in Lautoka than Suva.
I've never
been to Fiji. What's the difference? Is it hotter in Lautoka?
I don't know. Oh, well, it's pretty small, so I don't think the temperature's going to be that much. It's fucking hot all over.
Just Latoka's their fortress.
That's where
they've won 2 games this year. They've both been in Lautoka.
Yeah. What? There was some something happened in this game. Oh no! What do I want to say about this game?
This game had a weird finish, where the Drua were ahead and they have a kick to deny the Tars a losing bonus point.
That's right.
Or just kick it dead to end the game. Yeah. But they miss the kick, so it doesn't go dead, so the Tars are still alive.
Yeah.
But they're in their own goal area.
So if something magical happens...
They could go length of the field and draw the game, take it to super point.
It doesn't quite happen.
It doesn't quite, because the Tars can't even get out of their own goal area. Yeah, the Tars just get
pushed forward, pushed back, and in an attempt to try and keep the ball alive, Sawali gets put into a position where he can't help but be offside.
Yeah.
And picks it up, and he gets 10 minutes in the bin, in the 81st minute of the game, and it's a penalty try.
So they do lose their bonus point.
And they did, lose a bonus point. So
that was I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, but when I like the number 6 for the Drua, massive
Murray, right? Yeah, the guy who scored that wonder try.
He's an athlete.
And their winger Logan Amasa, he continues to impress.
Yeah. They got some athletes, so they really do. But just a bit of ball security would be nice from them.
Yeah.
Hold on to the pill.
Yeah, the Tars were a bit shit. At times they missed a lot of tackles, but
Yeah. I watched that game. This is the thing. You know, there was a game that I watched that I was really into that I fell asleep in. What are you going to talk about?
Moana played the Brumbies.
Moana
at Pukekohe. It was also pretty wet.
Moana should have been up in that first half.
They had all the pressure.
Yeah.
And they had a try denied. Julian Savia was playing.
Boom, he finally got in there. Number 12.
He heard the podcast. He's like, all right, Tony's on my case. Yeah,
better get out there.
Better get out there and play. No more golf.
He was just a big old man carrying it up the midfield, really, wasn't he?
Yeah. Always set up a try.
Yeah.
But it was denied.
Yeah. It was nice to see him out there. But they had so much possession.
At the start of the game.
Yeah, in that first half. They really should have been up.
But they weren't. And then Corey Tool is fast.
Quick. It's those jet shoes.
He scored 2 tries. Billy Pollard scored 2 tries from some malls.
And he's crashed into...
He crashed into the barrier.
He crashed into the barrier. You know how sometimes you see...
That's Corey Tool. When he's scoring a try, he slides because it's pissing
down.
But it
gets worse. Do you see the people that he crashed into?
No, not really. They only showed the camera angle from the side when I was watching.
So, oftentimes, like, on the sidelines, they have...
People with disabilities?
People with disabilities. I mean, with all and yeah. They were like the wheelchair-bound individuals.
They put them in spots quite close because they can't see over people.
They put
them in good spots to see the game.
So they were right behind that. He crashed into about 3 or 4 of them.
So he hit some disabled people.
But I think they were right. They put their hands up and hopefully they
braced themselves for impact.
No broken jaws or anything like that. But yeah. He looked quite concerned.
Yeah. He did.
There was also an incident in one of the games with, was it Harry Potter?
Harry Potter almost decapitated himself on the camera. Holy hell.
And as a good cameraman does, was not concerned at all with the player, just worried about the camera.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If anything, the cameraman could have, moved the camera out of his way, but he was still following the shot, which puts the camera in line with the player's face.
He was pretty
face.
Nonchalant about it. Whatever. You're right, aren't you?
Yeah, a couple of incidents.
Yeah, then Harry Potter had to apologize to him. He was like, it's fine.
Not my camera. It's the networks.
Yeah.
Yeah, 24-0.
Yeah.
Not Adi Savia. Apparently he needed a break.
Yeah, or is it not one of those, NZR needs a break?
I think it's an All Blacks enforced one, but Tana also just said, dude needs a break. He's been carrying the team.
The open side flanker that they put on in his stead, he was very argumentative with the refs. He really pleaded his case a number of times. And then we'd get explained to it. But he would be like, but... I was like when I'm trying to explain to my daughter that she has to go to bed. But... There's only so much left of this. Last night I went to bed early and she wins those arguments.
Really?
Nah. Any female ever argues with me wins.
Oh, is that right?
It's one piece of advice I have for newly married men is don't lose a long argument. Just lose your arguments quickly.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There's nothing worse than trying to stick to your guns and losing a long argument, because at the end of the day, you're just going to back down eventually and just be like, oh, okay, yep, you're right.
So just do the band-aid then, just get it done quickly.
I should not have said that about your mother. Even the, no, I won't say. Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
It's funny because I was editing up one of my China videos the other day, and I'd forgotten I'd even spoken to this woman, but I spoke to this lady. We were just talking, where are you from? And I was like, oh, do they eat spicy food where you're from? She's like, no, we don't eat spicy food. She's like, do you eat spicy food? And I was like, oh, well, my wife is from Wuhan.
Oh, yeah.
So they love spicy food, so I'm kind of obliged to eat it. And she's like, oh, yeah, you better listen to your wife, Sunshine. And yeah. I was like, yeah, well, yeah. I said the Chinese equivalent of a happy wife, happy life.
What is the Chinese equivalent?
I think I just said something like, 老婆开心就没有什么矛盾. Something like that.
Did I, how was my pronunciation?
Pretty awful.
You say it again then.
No. I just basically said. Lao po means wife. Kai xin means happy.
Lao po
male means not have. Maodu means conflict. Like what arguments?
So happy wife means no male conflict.
There you go.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Happy wife, happy life, folks.
Yeah. Bit of living, everybody.
The Chiefs played the Highlanders.
No one should take marriage advice from me anyway. I don't take my own advice, really.
It was close at halftime.
Chiefs
and the Highlanders. It was like 12-10 at halftime. Then the Highlanders were just like, how about if we don't score any points in this
game? How about if we just forget to tackle? Yeah.
How about if Damien McKenzie, like, has a cross kick to Samapini Finau, scores a try?
How about if we just start to suck shit?
That was how that went.
Yeah. And they really did.
They really did. It was 46-10.
And pretty crappy for a neutral. You're like, oh. Yeah.
I thought this was going to be close.
Yeah.
It was all right at halftime.
Yeah, it was a good first half. They had their moments. Jacob
Ratu Maitavuki Neepkins.
Yes, well done.
He played well for the Landers, especially in the first half.
Mm.
Fabian Holland had a big break.
Fabian Hollard, Holland, sorry. He's a big hunk of man, isn't he? He really is. He's got a bit of Brad Thorne about him.
Yeah.
Is he like a...
The Dutch people are tall, and he's quite tall.
He's had... I heard a thing that
leg extension surgery. Is that why he's so tall?
Cock extension surgery is what I heard.
Okay.
He's taken it from 3 foot to 4 foot.
Goodness me.
He can't wear shorts.
Your mum listens to this sometimes. Stop doing that.
We spoke to my mum before this podcast. It
you
was spoke great.
To your mum. Yeah, I didn't speak to her.
You just listened.
But she sounded like a lovely lady.
Yeah, I've had to listen to your dad so much.
Let's get into some of his parent chat.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I love it that my dad, who loves rugby, with this podcast, is like, that's too fucking long. But your mum, who is not like a major rugby fan, is still like, oh, I'll listen to you for a bit.
Yeah.
Can you talk too much about testicles?
Yeah, that was her feedback. It was too much testicle chat, too much... prostate chat, all that sort of stuff. Thanks, Mum. Thanks for watching. What were we starting to talk? Oh, yeah, what else is there to say?
Exactly.
Yeah, it was just a bit shit after that point.
Chiefs have retaken number one spot with that.
Ba-boom.
Because they got a bonus point against the Highlanders, whereas the Crusaders couldn't get one against us.
Yeah, suck on that, Crusaders.
Da-dum. We'll take our victories.
Eat a bag.
Force played the Canes, and it was a draw.
Yeah, this was probably the other... good game of the week.
I think so.
Yeah. I like the Canes.
Yes.
I'd say the Canes are probably my second favorite team generally, but I was kind of just quietly within myself realizing that I was kind of barracking for.
I was hoping for the Force.
Force to get it done. You're like, you want to see something. You like first.
They've never made the playoffs. I just want them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think this is their best shot at it.
They got a tour to New Zealand coming up. Two games.
Who are they playing?
I think they're playing the Chiefs, then us.
Oh, well, I hope they beat the Chiefs, but I really hope they don't beat us. Boy. But I'm really enjoying, I think Nick White is playing some of his best rugby at the moment. The two tries that they had, they came from like good passes, a little bit of deception to the line from Nick White. And then the other one seeing, was it Potter or the other winger out wide? That was a nice moment. His passing game is pretty sharp. He's a cunning, wily older operator now, and I think that you can play like that for a while when you're an older halfback.
Yep.
I think they really lost an edge. They lost something when he went off the field. Just that wisdom, that guidance, and that just manipulation of defenses that he's showing. He's playing some of the best rugby I've seen him play. Although his last action of the game was him getting absolutely flattened by the young number 11 from the Canes, who looks so a little bit of something about him too. Who scored 2 tries on the day?
Yes.
What's his name?
I forget.
Oh God, that's your bloody job.
That's my job. I mean, I keep thinking about the dude who blew that one try for the Canes.
Callum.
Harkin?
Harlem. Something Harlem.
Globetrotters.
He scored a try.
Yes.
And then did a beautiful, like, pretty much a solo effort.
If he puts the hammer down, he's there. Me, I think he beats Nick White.
Oh, every day of the week.
It was a sure thing.
And he did that.
But he pops it inside to Roygaard, and it doesn't find the man, so it just goes to Custard.
It was one of those moments that when you see it on replay when it's a try, the commentators will always say, oh, nice to see Harlem not being selfish there.
Yeah.
Unselfish moment for there as well.
Just probably could have scored himself. Probably could have finds the guy on the support line. Great support line from Roygaard.
Yeah,
like exactly. All good halfbacks do.
Yeah, yeah. So they would have been jacking all over it.
Yeah,
but he
because he doesn't make it. They're like, why the fuck did he just go for it?
It was a
stupid prick.
It was dumb because he was at high pace and he was trying to. His body was not in a good position. He just fucks it up completely and pulls the pass, goes freaking 3 or 4 meters behind him, and it goes from being a certain try to
just
a dicey moment. It was an enormously physical game
that was a really good game.
Yeah,
but Canes had so much momentum in the second half. Yeah. But Donaldson, cool as a cucumber, to slot that last penalty.
Yes, that's right. And one of my favourite moments was when Brad Shields had his shirt over his head for like a good 2.5 minutes of a ruck, and then like there were like multiple force players not letting him back on. It's just like,
I can't see.
Yeah, and he was getting fucking hammered during it as well. Every time he's just trying to pull it back, and there was guys just like holding it down over his head. You know what it reminded me of? You know, Beavis and Butthead. But there would be this I can't remember which is it. Was it Butthead? When Butthead would have too much caffeine.
No, that's Beavis.
Oh, it was in Beavis.
I need pee pee from my bunghole.
Yeah, pee pee from my bunghole. Yeah, he reminded me of Cornholio. Because he's just like, fucking. It was some great humor. And that was an enormously physical ruck, that one. That was awesome. I really enjoyed that. And you know what irritated me about this game was I got someone to admit, like, was it late at night?
It was.
Yeah, really late.
We almost had URC and Super Rugby overlap with these games. Because the Lions and Benetton kicked off so close to this game finishing.
Really?
They never fucking overlap.
No, but this one.
But this one was so close because we had super time.
So I...
very late, almost
anyway,
midnight.
The thing I have to admit to, like, after a couple of beers, a wine or two, maybe a whiskey, I was sitting there and I was like, going, oh, this is a bloody good game. I'm enjoying this. And I was like, this looks like we got a super point. That'd be something. Yeah.
You fell asleep.
And I fell asleep, and then I woke up, and then I saw on the clock, I was like, what's going on? That doesn't look like the game clock. What the fuck is, what is happening? Like, the scores are even, oh, they could go to Super, they could, I thought 30 seconds must have passed.
Right.
And I was like, oh, they could be going to Super Time. And then that was the moment when Ruben Love
does. Oh, the droppy
that hits the post. And then I was like, and they were like, and that's the end of the first super time, or whatever they call it. And I was like, oh, I fell asleep for like 12 minutes. Like, I must have been, because they have a 5-minute stop.
Yep.
So I missed all of that. I just woke up.
The Force had a 50-plus-meter shot at a penalty.
Yeah, right.
Donaldson missed that one. He had the legs, but it just went slightly wide.
And it wasn't because it was boring. It was just because it was late at night.
And you were a bit cut.
Yeah, I had a couple of drinks.
Well, that's all right. Yeah. That was a cracking game, though. But it's weird that Super Point's only one half. Like, it's in this one period.
It goes in. I want it to
10
be,
minutes.
I want it to go until a point.
That's what happens in the playoffs of the ice hockey.
I think that's what happens in...
keep going.
I think that's what happens in, what's her name as well, NRL.
Really?
I think so. No. I've never seen an unresolved golden point.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
That's the round.
We did it.
Chiefs are on top. Crusaders are second. Brumbies are third. Those three look like the top three, don't they?
Yeah. So what have we got? Like, sorry to be blues-centric, but...
We're on 17. The Tars are on 21. So we're only a win behind, but so are the Canes on 18.
Yeah.
So are the Highlanders are on 17. So there's a few teams who are only a win away from the playoff spots.
But what have we got in our...
We got the Reds next.
Okay.
And then I think we got the Force at home.
So hope if we could bank 2 points there. Or no, bank 2 wins, sorry.
Then two bonus points. We'll be right up there. We're going to win the Battle of the Colours next week, Reds against Blues.
I would say, I don't know if this is arrogant. I think it's
arrogant.
Yeah, okay. But I also think it's true on a multiple, for multiple reasons. People who are not from the Auckland region would love the Auckland, the Blues not to make it. Just for one reason, people love to give the Blues shit. But the other reason, I think they're a danger team still. Like the fact that they lost by a point to the Chiefs and, you know, pushed the Crusaders
both very games close, away from home.
Both games away from home. I still feel like they could beat anyone on their day. But dropping games to the Brumbies, dropping games to the Highlanders. Who else did they drop? They drop games to the only people they seem to beat regularly are the Hurricanes.
Hurricanes, yeah.
Who else have they lost there?
We beat Moana Pacifica. We beat the Hurricanes twice.
And we've lost to everybody else.
Basically. Well, we lost 2 to the Chiefs and 2 to the Crusaders. So maybe that's a bulk of our losses. I don't know. Those are
Playing the top two teams. And then the games against the Highlanders and the Brumbies are definitely games that we should have got.
Performed a bit better.
Yeah. Oh.
Chiefs have got the Force. Chiefs massive favourites at home.
Yeah.
Moana and the Drua.
Might give it to, where has it been played?
Harbour.
Moana. That's a fortress there. They're unbeaten there.
Highlanders Crusaders, Battle of the Deep South.
That's their Lotoka.
Has anyone beaten them at the Harbour?
I'm not sure. Cracking game. Cracking venue.
Highlanders got the Crusaders down Dunedin.
It's weird. I'm in this position now where I want the fucking Crusaders to win.
But then also, we as Blues fans, we probably want the Highlanders not to win.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
I want the Crusaders to win. Which is sucks.
And then the Brumbies Hurricanes.
50-50. Really? Where's it been played?
In Canberra. I don't think the Hurricanes have had a great recent record.
I'll give it to the Brumbies.
Waratahs on the bye.
All right. Okay.
They shouldn't lose that one.
Talk to me about Europe. I have no idea what has happened other than Leclerc acting like a twat. A knobhead,
yeah. I only really followed the URC at the weekend. Edinburgh hosted the...
Oh, no. Are we going to do...
Tony's... post-week predictions.
Da, 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 da. The only prediction show that happens after the games are played. Welcome to Does Tony Get It Right? Okay, so I've got a pretty good record in this game so far. I think the first week I went 6 of 8, and then I think I went 7
Last
of 8.
Last time was Champions Cup,
though. All right, okay. Well, European rugby, that's all.
It is European. I think I'm missing a game.
A European and African rugby.
Yes, I'm missing a game.
Oh, don't miss a game. Don't want that.
Right, so Edinburgh played the Sharks. So for context, or do you want context or you want to go blind?
I want to know where it was played.
It was played in Edinburgh.
Uh-huh.
At the Hive Stadium.
Where are they both on the table?
So the Sharks are this team full of Springboks.
Uh-huh.
But under John Plumtree have been a little bit kind of lackluster, but they are still like top four.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the Edinburgh guys always seem to find a way to kind of snatch defeat from the jaws of victory just outside the playoffs. But the mid-table of the URC is really clogged.
They sound like they're Scottish.
They're Scottish doing very Scottish things.
It was played in Edinburgh.
In Edinburgh.
I'm going to give it to the Sharkies.
They did win it.
There we go.
18-17.
Damn.
There's a key moment in that game. Edinburgh must have got held up, I think, 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
There's try-saving tackles, one from Lacanyam with an ankle tap.
Yeah.
There's one where I think Ethan Hooker, who's not a hooker, he's an outside back. Was he a midfielder? He puts he gets under one of the Edinburgh guys from scoring. Sio Khaleesi, I think, holds up a maul. And then there's one, the best one, Andre Estes, and there's the big fucking number 12, like I mentioned. There's three Edinburgh guys, just I think it's a maul, peeling off the maul, going for the try, single-handedly.
Yeah.
He just fucking stops. You shall not pass.
Really?
And then he gets the support behind him to block them out.
Is it Shades of... You remember the one that Jordy Barrett did against the Irish in the quarterfinal of the 2023 where... They peel off, but he just gets his body in the right position and holds them up.
Well, he doesn't even hold them up. He just stops them in their tracks. Yeah. That's it. So it's pretty bizarre stuff. Like, the Sharks were behind right until the death, and they scored in the corner, like, right
Sorry, Edinburgh. I'm sorry, but it's not surprising.
Rian's Lions played Benetton in Joburg. Lions are chasing the playoff spots. Benetton in the playoff spots.
There's got to be some. I can just imagine. I've just got a feeling that Rian was upset about something. So I'm going to give it to Benetton.
You're right.
Boom! That was a call.
That's a genuine call because the Benetton were big underdogs for this
game. There we go. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 42.
I just had to somehow. I swear to God, I didn't acknowledge any of these. I just had to feel in the ether that there was a butthurt Rian low out there somewhere.
You could feel it.
You could feel
that butthurt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
42-31.
Oh, yeah.
That's
convincing.
Super convincing. Yeah, there were some pretty shitty tries in that game, in terms of, like...
I'm proud of myself for that.
Just let the ball bounce, okay?
I would have been kicking myself if I got that. I'd be like, of course it was a lie.
Yeah, so the Lions are in deep strife. Like, the Lions are finishing their season with 4 home games, and they pretty much needed to win most of them.
Yeah.
And they just lost that one. So
ooh,
they're not in a good position.
Damn.
The Stormers played Irish side Connacht down in Cape Town.
You got to give that to... give me context just for where these player teams are.
Okay, Stormers, mid-table.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got your boy Sasha Feinberg, Gomazulu playing for them. Connacht, low, outside the playoffs, kind of towards the bottom. But they always play fun rugby.
All right. On the high veld?
Cape Town, sea level.
Okay, pardon me. Sorry, South Africans. You've got to give it the Stormers, just strength of numbers.
They did, but it was 34-29.
Okay, right.
Sasha Feinberg was on Gumazulu, scored a hat trick within like 26 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a pass. It probably is not as good as Satutu's one.
Yeah.
But it's pretty fucking close.
It's up there.
Behind the back.
Boom.
Wasn't in the wet. But it was in motion, so it's comparable.
Okay.
So it was pretty crazy. Connacht actually had a late try denied for some obstruction. They scored the try, but they TMO'd it.
All right, I'm 3 from 3.
3 from 3.
There we go.
The Welsh sides this week, they had Judgment Day.
Oh.
James Cameron was there, Terminator 2.
Oh, so they cut to him like 1,000 times?
Well, he wasn't.
He spends a lot of time in New Zealand.
He wasn't actually there. It's just called Judgment Day.
Oh, fuck me, dude. Oh, I really fell for that hook, line, and sinker.
I don't know why they call it Judgment Day, because it's not like the last round, but they call it Judgment Day because all four teams...
I feel foolish. You really got me there.
They play... What was the guy who played the T-1000? Robert?
Oh, the guy...
Patrick?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah, it's a good movie, Tim, there too.
That guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
Liquid
yeah.
metal guy. Yeah, very cool. Yeah. Because they play all four teams, the two games play at the Principality. Instead of playing at the home grounds, they play at the...
Right. So it's like magic ground for the Welsh.
Yeah, so they all get to go like 2 for 1. You get to watch two games.
Decent crowd?
Yeah, all right.
There we go.
So it's kind of a neutral venue, really. Right. So the Ospreys played Cardiff. Both sides kind of in the hunt for the playoffs.
I'm going to give it to Cardiff.
You're right.
Ba-boom.
36.
That's a home
19.
The Principality isn't Cardiff.
Yeah, it is. So if there was anything like a home game, it's that. But they usually play at the Arms Park, which is next door.
Mm-hmm.
So Cardiff, I think they conceded the first penalty. And then they were just like, fuck you. And scored 4 tries in the first half.
Nice.
Ospreys got it back to within 2.
All right, 4 from 4. There we go.
And then Cardiff.
How many more have
Cardiff got... scored 2 tries in the last 2 minutes.
How many more games are there?
You're halfway.
So there's no way I can get less than 50%.
You're gonna. It's a pass.
Pass or 4. That's good.
Munster
mm-hmm.
played the Bulls. Bulls are third in the URC, and the Munster guys are, I think, like 6th or something going into this game, but they are at home.
Now is this one I want to make? I'm spinning weights. So the Bulls are third. The Munster are playing at home.
Munster playing at home. Munster have been, because they started the season so shit, remember their coach resigned.
Yeah.
But they have been kind of coming into some good form.
Oh, look, I might kick myself, but I'm going to say Munster.
Kick yourself.
Oh, you cock.
It was the Bulls.
I'm reading too much. I'm trying to read your tone of voice. Right,
okay.
Damn it.
16-13.
Oh.
Can I tell you about some controversy in this game?
Yes, you can.
So,
yeah.
One of the Munster props, Ollie Jaeger, former Crusaders man,
uh-huh.
goes off with an HIA really early in this game.
Oh, yeah, captain.
They replace him, and then I forget what minute it is. It's relatively early in the second half. Second prop goes off injured.
Oh, yeah.
So golden oldie scrums.
Don't they have to lose another man then?
That's what the ref says. You guys are going to lose another man because golden oldie scrum, because you guys have, you know, depowered the scrum, so... You know, you guys have got to sacrifice a player. So they play on for about 13 minutes, Munster, with 14 guys.
It's once the first scrum of Golden Oldies gets called, your player has to leave, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So they've still got to pack down with eight, and you've still got to have three front rowers.
Yeah.
So
you lose a man on a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the ref, after 13 minutes, calls the captains over and goes, ah, guys. Man, rugby's just got so many rules. Sorry, but because your first prop was actually an HIA, you didn't have to lose at a player for those 13 minutes. So it should have kind of been 15 on 15 this whole time. So you can bring that guy back on.
Oh.
Yeah. So the Munster captain's kind of like, the fuck? What do we get for these 13 minutes of playing with a man down? I don't think any points were scored during that time.
So they lose a man for 30 minutes.
Yeah, they? Maybe.
Yeah.
But no, that's not how it works. So, yeah. Oh, wow. When the ref's just gone,
I got on the ref for not just like.
People are crucifying him for saying that. But he's being honest.
Yeah, yeah. He could have just been like.
There is actually a framework that you can follow. It's got like 24 or something outcomes.
Yeah.
Like, if the first player is off for a contact injury, second player off for a contact injury, you have to lose a player. First player off for an HIA, second player off for a contact injury.
The fact that he had the gonads.
Like, there's so many different combinations. Card and injury. Yeah. HIA and card. Like, there's literally...
The fact that he had the gonads to be able to go, hand up, I got that wrong, and we need to... Because he could have just been like, players off, carry on with the game. It's just the way it was adjudicated.
Mm.
And then it would have been like when, you know... during the World Cup final, I'm just going to piss off some South Africans here, when Aaron Smith scored his career-defining try.
Right.
But there was the tiniest of tiniest knock-ons multiple phases before, and according to the rules...
The
TMO should not have been involved, but the TMO had a suit on and wanted everyone to see that day. Remember, he had a suit on. Everyone's going to check out my suit. So it would have been like them going, "Oh, actually, no, sorry. We looked at the framework and we're not allowed to adjudicate on that." So, boom! And it would have been party time in New Zealand. That would have been a great thing to do, I think. So I appreciate these retroactive correct calls.
Okay.
Yeah. I just really had to work into a context that would be highly...
Inflammatory
towards...
I feel like the ref's got a lot going on.
Yes, it's an impossible game.
We're in the 50-somethingth minute when the second prop goes off, I feel. The first prop's gone off 15 minutes in, so it's fucking ages ago.
Mm.
I feel like maybe the TMO is going to be the one that needs to go like, actually...
Yeah.
Wait a minute. That was an HIA,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, the guy's on the field. He's trying to look at and every fucking...
Like, honestly, the framework is like yellow card, red card, contact injury, HIA. What does it match with? There's like dozens of combinations.
It's a fucking massive flowchart.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
So that's definitely a TMO.
TMO needs to be like, hey, Piatti, wait a minute. No, they don't need to lose a guy.
Yeah, TMO or AR.
There's four of them, so one of them needs to get it.
The guy on the field is there just trying to
control the game,
judge every fucking breakdown where there's like thousands of things happening. So I feel like any abuse his way is a little bit unfair. Anyway.
There you go. But Munster lost.
Yeah, and I got it. And I lost too.
There you go. You're out.
Bugger.
The Dragons played the Scarlets. The Dragons.
See, these are hard, the Welsh ones.
The Dragons are the bottom side of the URC. They're on 9 points.
Right.
The next best side has like 27.
Ooh.
And the Scarlets are in the playoff hunt, but they've got a trip to South Africa coming up.
Just odds. I'm just you got to say that. Who are the bottom team? Dragons.
Yes.
So the Scarlets got it.
The Scarlets were down like 20-7, but they did come back and win it. So yeah, they won it 31-23. So that's a big tick.
So I'm 5-1.
Yes.
Right.
Leinster played Ulster. They were at home.
Yeah, Leinster.
Yes. 41-17.
Uh-huh.
Ulster had a bunch of injuries in that game, which is not going to help their campaign.
Bugger.
Trying to think if anything else happened in that game. Oh, Dan Sheehan, the hooker, came off the bench and scored a hat-trick. Just doing Leinster stuff.
Was it like off the back of the rucks?
Like one was a freaking cross kick, for goodness sake.
Oh, wow. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Some dang cold shit.
Exactly. And then Zebre played Glasgow over in Zebre. So Zebre, the second bottom side. Glasgow, the second top side.
I go with Glasgow then.
It was close.
But Glasgow got it.
It was 6 points to nil. Points to nil at halftime to Zebre. Yeah. And they had the ultimate blown of blown tries because the guy was literally one-handed just trying to put the ball down and it slips out as it's that far from the ground.
It could have been worse than Haarlem's.
Yeah.
If we're getting Haarlem's name right.
And then they got a second half yellow card, Zebre. Glasgow scored two tries. That's the game, 14-6. Bucket. So low scoring affair.
If I just did the smart call and went for the Bulls, I would have got a clean sweep.
To be fair, the Bulls don't usually travel that well. So Munster, I think, would have been the smart call.
Bugger.
Yeah, 7 from 8.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Mm. From elite, it's really just. It's context and where they are in the table.
Yeah.
There's
3 rounds
If you could Nostradamus it and follow the calls and put some cash down.
You should put some cash down. Like, you'd be getting 7 out of 8.
Yeah. What was that noise?
Sounds like an email. I don't think it was mine.
I don't think it was from anywhere from me. Okay. Everything's still recording? Looks like
it's going.
Yeah,
it's going. Right. But yeah, I mean, the top of the log, Leinster on 67, Glasgow on 58, Bulls on 54, Sharks on 49. Those guys all look kind of safe.
Yeah.
Then you got like Benetton 41, Cardiff 41, Munster 40, Stormers 40, Scarlets 38, Ulster 37, Edinburgh 37, Connacht 35. So there's a fucking log jam in the middle.
Yeah, looks like it.
There's enough spots to go moving around, but I think pretty much all the Welsh sides are in South Africa for the last 2 rounds. And guess what? They don't usually do very well.
No, they don't.
In South Africa.
Or anywhere.
Well, they play each other. All right.
There are noises happening. Yeah,
noises. Things happening.
We've had disasters on the podcast before where we've had to re-record. We haven't had a wine episode this. If you ever see us drinking wine,
it means we're doing it again.
Yeah. The red comes out for...
And it's usually a lot shorter. If you see the episode, it's like 35 minutes. Oh, we had to re-record.
Imagine me having to do my Rory rant from last... That Rory rant went for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, no. Rory McIlroy.
How were you had to sit through it.
Basically.
It was like the worst TED Talk ever.
See my like life flashing before my eyes. I'm on my deathbed going down and be like, I waited for 10 minutes.
I watched it and you were actually following the narrative. So, congratulations. Yeah. I liked my favorite comment of last week was like someone saying, man, geez, have you guys talked about rugby as much? No, as passionately as you talked about golf.
You could start a rugby podcast.
That was one of the most momentous golf moments of our lifetimes almost.
Compared to like a midweek round of Super Rugby.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Well, yeah, like this week is another midweek round. Whatever. No, this is the one where the Pope died, you know?
You have to put the Pope in the thumbnail. Sure. Doesn't have to be thumbs
it's
up.
It's on your channel.
Oh yeah, true.
Do you want me to put the vibe of the it's on
is,
your...
is it distasteful? Probably.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's dead.
Don't do that then. Don't want to be like profiting off someone.
Like him like make him translucent enough to and like put angel wings on him floating.
No,
off.
Don't do
you
that.
Want me to do that.
Don't do that.
Alright, okay.
Might be a bit
distasteful. Good on you, Francis. Franco.
Anything else going on? Other sports? News?
Not much.
Events.
I went to a gig over the weekend called a Spanish group at the Tuning Fork, which is the venue next to Spark Arena. And they were fantastic. They were called the Buzz Lovers, and they were a tribute Nirvana band.
Mm.
Fucking great. It was like stars in your eyes.
Were they like, come as you are?
I don't think Richie Valens was actually... Was he Spanish or was he Mexican?
Well, he sung in Spanish, didn't he?
Yeah, racist much. No, but they were brilliant. They were fantastic. Really? They really, like, they had it all the sort of idiosyncrasies. Well, not all of it, obviously they're not the people, but they really did their best to do as much.
Channeling a bit of Chris Novoselic.
Yeah. Cougarman, obviously, Dave Grohl, and they were brilliant, and they were tight as fuck, and everybody knows all the music, and it was just really, really fun. I thought this might be a bit gimmicky and shit. It's obviously very much a gimmick. I wore a fucking flannel shirt and shit. I really treated it like a costume party. It was fun. But other than that, just a bit of chocolate over the weekend.
Oh yeah, Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Shops were closed for a couple of days.
Couldn't buy booze. Yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone preloads and buys it all the day before.
People go nuts about the shopping over Easter. You don't go to the supermarket every day.
I don't know. It's just people. It's like the toilet paper thing. Everyone's like, oh, if I can't get toilet paper,
gonna have shit everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, all right, I need to pee.
You always need to pee. You need to get that checked out.
No, I've drunk two beers in an hour.
Well, I've had the same amount as you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you got a bigger bladder than I do. Usually, if you're drinking two beers over an hour, at the end of it, you're like...
You're getting old.
Yeah, I've always been a pisser, to be fair. A regular pisser. Once I go for a pee at a party or a
break
pub...
Break the seal.
I break the seal. I spend the rest of my night just having chats with people at the urinals. That's where I do most of my socializing at a party or a pub after I've broken the seal. Okay. Ah, Steve, I haven't seen you for a while. Well, I don't know why I'm fucking fishing with the thing.
Well, I don't know either.
Good to see you.
Oh, we might have a sponsor for next week.
Oh, boom.
Hopefully.
Breaking the drought. Hopefully. Two week drought.
I'm in negotiations.
Yeah, we're playing hardball.
Hardball.
You got 14 grand for it?
Not quite.
All right.
Still waiting for my insurance company to get back to
me. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We'll have to hear what's happening with the saga of that. Anything with you? Anything? Any sumo news? Hockey news? Anything like that?
Oh, the playoffs are starting for the hockey. Islanders didn't make the cut.
Bit of daytime watching. Daytime TV, really.
Well, it's school holidays, so I am watching shit right now. We're going to see the Minecraft movie.
How was that?
It's all right.
It was a kid's movie, and you got through it.
It was. My daughter had to pee during that as well.
Yeah, Maddie.
I took her to go pee.
Yeah.
It was good as well, because right as she'd gone in to go pee, a group of like school holiday program kids, like fucking 20 girls, came in to pee. So I was like, my daughter just beat that fucking queue.
Well done.
Job done.
And girls have to wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you always feel sorry for the girls' queues.
Yeah. Good job, daughter.
Well done. Daughter. Fantastic. All right.
Steve.
I don't understand all this I am Steve shit.
The character in the Minecraft game's name is Steve.
Right.
Yeah.
There's
heaps of Minecraft references.
I have never played Minecraft.
Oh, there you go. That's your problem.
So I wouldn't understand any of that. Anyway, I have hosted this podcast 95 times with yourself. So
we're coming up to 100.
Getting there. Yeah. We'll have a 100 episodes extravaganza coming up. It's going to be massive.
My in-laws should be here by then.
Oh. All right. Maybe we can get them involved. All right. Good on you, Mark. Sweet as.
Take care, folks.
See you later.